member-supported Jazz 94.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips to the PC. It is Saturday, the 25th of April, Anno Domini 2015. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Comcast scrapped its $45 billion proposal to merge with Time Warner Cable after being faced with potential roadblocks from federal regulators who have been leery of the merger due to concerns about unfair competition and harm to industry innovation. The ending of the merger proposal came in a terse statement on Friday from Brian L. Roberts, chairman and CEO of Comcast Corporation, who back in February 2014 had announced the then newly proposed deal as an exciting opportunity for the company, its customers, and for its shareholders. "Today we move on," Roberts said in his statement. "Of course, we would like to bring our great products to new cities, but we structured this deal so that if the government didn't agree, we could walk away." Mainly because that's their only other alternative. In a separate statement on the ending of the merger plans, Time Warner's cable chairman and CEO, Robert DeMarcus, said that the company had been laser-focused on executing our operating plan and investing in our plant products and people to deliver great experiences to our customers. "Through our strong operational execution and smart capital allocation, we are confident we will continue to create significant value for shareholders." Marcus called the Time Warner deal a one-of-a-kind asset that is strong. Called Time Warner itself a one-of-a-kind asset that is strong and getting stronger. Tom Wheeler, the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, which has been actively reviewing the merger proposal from the start, said in a statement that the ending of the proposal came on the heels of meetings earlier this week with officials from the FCC and the U.S. Department of Justice. An April 23rd report by the Philadelphia Inquirer said the merger deal seemed dead after the staff of the Federal Communications Commission reportedly favored sending the $45 billion transaction to an administrative law judge for a decision, which indicated that the FCC does not believe the deal would benefit consumers. "Such a hearing would offer Comcast opponents another public forum in which to blast the transaction," the article reported, "rather than private negotiations between high-level FCC officials and Comcast executives over the merger conditions." Robert McDowell, a former FCC member, said the FCC fired the fatal bullet. "An FCC designation for a hearing is really a bullet to the heart of the deal. There is no way out." So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is the FCC has killed the Comcast-Time Warner merger. Your choices are yay, boo, I have no opinion, and cable, seriously, who still does that? So far, we've got about 26 votes. Yay is far in the lead. We know you'll have more to say, so please feel free to join us in the forum where we're already talking about the next potential suitor for Time Warner. If you scroll down on the right-hand side under Fascinating Stuff, you will see the forums, and the second choice down in the forums is the poll discussion. And if you click on that, you'll see that the very first poll discussion is 25 April 15. The FCC has killed the Comcast-Time Warner merger, and we've got five people already talking about that. And Charter and pretty much everything else. So join us there and stay tuned here as we continue to talk about computers and all the other cool stuff that we talk about.
There's an interesting article that Phil started on Stop the Cap. Our long nightmare is over at last. It's been 14 months since this started. Now, I haven't read yet, but was there a cancellation clause in it? Because you remember, was it AT&T tried to buy T-Mobile, and that failed through, so they paid them $1 billion cancellation clause?
No, this one had a back-out clause that, you know,
but they didn't have to pay.
yeah, if the FCC nixed the deal, it was a no harm, no foul. We'll just walk away kind of thing.
Now, green light.
Yeah.
You've got. Now,
love it.
You know, another friend of mine was asking, she was saying, you know, I haven't heard much about it. You know, it's not like they advertised it. I says, you know what? They're like this little sleeping giant. They're sort of slowly working their way into different areas and gaining momentum that way.
And it's a little hard to advertise, you know, countywide at least, you know, the way TV stations work, when you're only available in limited locations.
Right. Mm-hmm. Part of the issue, of course, is that that they need to go through Time Warner and Frontier to go into an area, and that makes there are roadblocks.
Oh yeah.
As always, there are things that have to be done, and they're really not countywide yet. It would, to me, it would make an astounding amount of sense for the county to do something to facilitate that, because it's the thing that would make this area boom again. But, you know, that's whatever.
Politics.
It's politics.
And that's the way it always goes. Like anything else, they got to get their fingers into it. And something that could be very good, because politics has to get into it, messes everything up.
Yep. So there's, so, you know, there are alternatives. Earthlink is an alternative. There's a net zero. There's Greenlight, which is very fast. And phenomenally nice.
There's also a company out in the Victor area called FiberTech, because I've seen some of our customers use those. But I think they're more commercial than they are residential.
Right. And in fact, I believe that Greenlight goes through FiberTech, because when I hit those routers when I'm doing a trace route. So I'm pretty sure that...
So somebody has laid the fiber, and then somebody else can offer the service, and which is what a lot of municipalities have done, is, you know, the city can lay fiber, and then anyone else can come along and offer internet services on top of that. So
right.
The city of Canandaigua has done that. And one of the things in the new FCC proposed rules is that municipalities cannot make that illegal, because some have.
Right.
In Philadelphia, home of Comcast, it is illegal for the city to offer internet services.
Right. And of course, the government is saying, as you said, that that's not illegal. And right now, that's still being battled out. And I, you know, who knows what's, who knows. But yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool thing to have super fast internet service. I got to be honest. I fully admit not everybody needs it.
Yep.
If all you do is email and maybe a little bit of web stuff, and you're happy with the speed you've got, that's all you need.
Mm-hmm.
But for many of us, and particularly those of us who want to start businesses, having fast internet connectivity is a must.
Yeah. We joke that in the days of dial-up, you know, you would download a 10 meg file and it took an hour. And so now we've all got super high-speed internet, but we're downloading 10 gig files, and it takes an hour.
It takes an hour. It's so, so very true.
Yeah.
So very true. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is our friend Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's up?
Hi, guys. I got a comment and a question.
Yeah.
Remember, a long time ago, I told you I couldn't get on to the forum?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for changing it. I added those two things, and within 5 minutes, I was on.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, because I thought to myself, you know, so, okay. Now, my question is, I live in a townhouse complex. We're in blocks of four. I'm in the middle, okay? Now, here's my question. My wireless router using my iPad is freezing all the time. But if I always take it to the Apple store, and there's nothing wrong. But in my house, it freezes. It does everything. I was listening to last week's podcast, and you were talking about AC.
Yeah, newer wireless technologies. How old is your wireless router?
Oh, I'd say about 4 years old.
Yeah, if you had to think, it's too old. yeah, generally wireless technologies change every 3 or 4 years. Do you know if yours is a G or an N?
I think it's an N.
Because they changed technology. So N was the last technology, and AC is the new one. So you might have two different issues. One is your router just might be getting old, and that's why it's freezing. It needs to be replaced, period.
Uh-huh.
And you could choose to replace that with a newer N router, which would be a little cheaper, or a newer AC router, which would have longer range. And living in a townhouse, you may not need that longer range, but AC also gives you higher speeds and better signals.
Yeah, because I noticed with my cell phone, I'm only open in the front and open in the back, yet my neighbor next door is the N unit. His cell phone, great. I have Verizon. And if I go to his house, I get 4 bars. I barely get a bar and a half if I'm in mine. Now, because somebody suggested getting an extender.
Well, that's two issues. There's the cellular radio on your phone, and then there's the Wi-Fi radio on your iPad or also your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a cellular, what do they call it, micro tower. Basically a little cell tower you put in your house and plug it into your internet service. But generally they can be a little expensive.
And
they're only more for people that are way outside the cell
range.
And
I don't know, you're talking apples to oranges to me.
Right. The other thing though, Linda, is you're getting how many bars at home?
Two? Let me get my...
No,
right
just,
now I'm getting... It fluctuates from 1 to 2.
Okay, that's still a connection. We tend to think that there's some sort of correlation between the power of the connection and the speed of the connection and the ability of the connection. As long as you're connected, you're going to be able to make calls and you're going to be able to do any sort of data stuff that you have to do. The big question you have right now is your internet connectivity. And that's an entirely separate issue. And that, I believe, is, as Steve said, related specifically to your router. The problem is you've got internet coming into your home via a wire, and then that connects to your router, correct?
I guess so.
Yeah. So, it's pretty much the only way that's going to happen.
Because I listened to your podcast last week, and they were talking about Time Warner. I've got Time Warner's, router, Time Warner's box, whatever you call it.
Right.
Okay, and I've got my own router.
Right.
Okay. Now, and I was listening to the guy, I was listening to it last night, and he says, don't get the all-in-one. Well, Time Warner's trying to get me to get the all-in-one.
Yeah, so they can charge you more for it.
Sure.
Yeah. But if I get this new AC, AG, whatever it is, I don't know. Would I have to, I'd have to pay the guys, the Geek Squad, to put it in, because I haven't got the faintest idea what I'm doing.
Well, then you need to pay them. There's only two ways to get it in.
And
either you do it or they do it.
If you buy the one from Time Warner, then you pay them to put it in.
Right, but then you pay by the month.
Then you pay by the month for it, too, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one more question. And I have got so many questions, and I know I can't take up your time. Who do I go to? I don't trust anybody but you guys.
Well, thanks. You can certainly go to Steve at his store. Particularly for Apple stuff, he's the guy.
And so the users groups.
There's also, of course, the user groups. Apple Cider meets the second
Wednesday of the month.
There you go.
And then the PC group, Rochester Computer Society
Incorporated.
They're the second Tuesday of the month, I think it is.
Yep.
And then the Linux group is the third Thursday of the month.
Right. And Steve will put up links to all of those. I don't know if Lugor's up to date anymore.
Okay. What do you think of Laplink PC Mover?
Laplink is a program that allows you to copy all the files from your old computer to a new computer that you buy. You almost don't need that anymore because that service is built into Windows. And you can use your network that you already have for getting on the internet.
Okay, because I'm getting a brand new all-in-one My computer died. My computer's on its dying leg. I got a brand new all-in-one, Nick. It's got 16 gigs of memory.
Nice. Okay, we got to take a break, Linda.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Thanks, guys.
Yep. That's nice. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbite, right here in the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Mark from Greece, New York, on the line. What's up, Mark?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Peachy, you?
I'm well. Calling about the Time Warner Comcast merger thing.
Ah.
I latched on to, I don't know if you're familiar with Free Press. Back when this whole merger thing came through.
Free Press?
Yeah, they're a big advocate of, you know, net neutrality and don't make companies too big. And I latched onto them, and, you know, they put up links to get a hold of your senators and write letters. And
FreePress.net,
when this whole thing came down. And I was reading through some of their stuff, and, you know, they always say be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I guess the other cable company that's going to try and buy out Time Warner now, they were nudged out early in this process when Comcast
Charter.
Came through.
Right.
Was it Charter?
Yeah.
And they were saying Charter's really, really, for a small company, is really not a good company because they are big on bandwidth caps, and they're small bandwidth caps, not like Comcast that, depending on what tier you're on, if you're in the upper tier, they give you like 250 gigabyte cap.
Right.
Where Charter somewhere around, well, last I heard, I don't know what it is, if they changed it now, was like 5.
Yeah.
Which is nothing.
Yep.
You know,
that's why one of the choices is Boo on the poll.
Exactly.
It may not necessarily be a good thing. The big problem with the Comcast Time Warner merger is that everybody was against it because both of those companies are so vastly huge. Charter's not quite as big, and so the likelihood of saying no because it's a monopoly is lower.
Exactly. And they were nudged out by Comcast early on in this game. They put a bid in. And Comcast nudged them out by adding that shareholder part of their deal into it.
Right.
And nudged Charter right out because Charter basically had to get hostile.
Yep, exactly
and
right.
I think because Charter couldn't buy Time Warner, they were going to buy Bright House, which Time Warner is also part owner of. So maybe now they'll go back to trying to buy Time Warner again.
Exactly. So
we're already in talks.
This battle isn't over yet. You know, as far as you know, we're still trying to see if they're going to overturn that net neutrality law that went through. And I guess Comcast was they're part of this contingency that the FCC put through said that that if the deal went through, that even if the net neutrality law was overturned, that Comcast would have to abide by it. And that's when Comcast said, no, no, no. And Time Warner said, no, we don't want any part of this deal anymore.
Right.
Because they didn't want to be locked into something that might not be law anymore.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, it's be careful what you wish for. You just might get it.
That's exactly right. I cannot deny
that. And that's what's going on now. You know, Comcast was like a double-edged sword of a deal that, you know, which way do you want to get cut?
Right.
You know, so, you know, Time Warner, they have their faults, but they're not a Comcast.
No, they aren't, and nor are they a Charter.
Exactly.
So it's, you're right, and I that's why Boo is one of the choices.
Yeah, and I was one of the Boos.
Yep, good for you.
Because I really don't, I didn't want any big company, I didn't want any company that big to be you know, monopolizing the industry. Plus, it could have another good cut in another way, because they would be dictating how much they wanted to pay for programming. They'd be so huge and such a large swath of the industry that they could basically say to Disney and
ESPN
and all this, we're not paying that. And if we cut you, you're not going to be on any TVs.
That's right. At that point, and that's part of the reason that as a possible monopoly problem, the FCC was also against it.
Right, which could be beneficial to us as the end user, but also could be bad because they could say, well, we're paying less, but we're still going to up our prices.
Right.
So there's more profit for us. Cha-ching,
right.
Again.
That's why, again, so many people are cutting the cord.
Yep, and I'm trying to get there, but I can't do without my DVR. I'm in love with it, and I can't do without it.
Yeah,
and
that's the way I am too. It remembers what I want to watch.
Exactly, and it's kind of a no brainer.
So I could cut the cord and watch everything on Netflix or Hulu or individual web channels, but then I have to remember it all myself.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
For someone, somebody needs to write a program. That Google TV tried to do this, and they got sued out of existence. Where, you know, I want to watch Castle. I don't care what channel it's on. I don't care what internet service it's on. Just show me the latest episode.
Yep.
And we need a program that can do that, or a program to be our DVR for us and remember for us what we want. And these episodes are on Hulu. These episodes are on ABC.com. These episodes are on Netflix. And here's how you do it.
Well, kind of the way Can I Stream It works, but I find that isn't always the best way to look up things either.
Right.
I don't want to have to think that hard to watch TV.
Yeah.
I want to watch History Channel, which I love, I don't want to have to find it hard to find it. And then, are the shows that I want to see, are they available?
Yeah.
It's just a little too hard at this point. But if somebody could streamline it, make it a little easier, I'd be all for it.
Right. There is an open source program called Myth TV, MYTH TV at mythtv.org. And that's essentially an open source digital video recorder. The problem is, can you get enough channels on it? And I haven't looked at it in years.
That's a DVR for your computer, basically, right?
Right, if you've cut the cord, this is the thing you use, right? I mean, so I just don't. I haven't looked at it in a long time, so I don't really know what programs I can get, what stuff I can get,
and if it could be even smarter. Is it on my Apple TV? Is it on my Roku? Is it on my Amazon? Is it on my computer?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't really know. It's for analog and digital TV, but I don't know that it does over the internet stuff. I just don't know. I haven't looked at it in forever, so it might be something at least to check out.
Well, that was my 2 cents. Thank you, gentlemen.
No, thank you.
Have a wonderful day.
I appreciate it. You too. Have fun. So that's the big thing. Right now, there's nothing that does exactly what there's nothing that does exactly what a DVR does. And so if you're the sort of person who lives their life time-shifting things, and you're the sort of person who, like Steve and I, don't necessarily remember what it is we want to watch, this is a way to do it. So,
well, and then it's great to have with the on-demand stuff. You may not have heard about a new show that started, so you go back and watch it on demand. In fact, I watched The New Odd Couple. I didn't think I was going to like it because I didn't like the last remake they did.
Right.
It wasn't Felix and Oscar to me.
Right.
Jack Klugman and Tony Randall.
Right.
So, but it's Matthew Perry and John Thomas Lennon.
I like Thomas Lennon a lot.
I watched an episode last night and it was great. And so he is the gayest non-gay character
on television. Isn't that exactly who he also played in Reno 911?
Yeah, it's like the same character he plays in almost every TV show.
Yeah, right.
And then he and his wife and children at home probably laughing all the way to the bank.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Andy from Brockport, New York. Welcome, Andy. How are you?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Technology. What a thing.
Yeah, I know, huh? I just got a new Dell Inspiron 3847, And I wanted to ask about Microsoft Essentials for virus protection and malware protection.
We kind of joke that Microsoft should be the best one at making antivirus and anti-malware for Windows. And they're not, by a long shot. Right.
Well, they have a trouble. Their biggest issue is they'll bring out stuff, and then what's been the problem right along with a lot of their stuff, other than their OS, is the support. They don't update it enough.
That's exactly right.
You know, I mean, it could be weeks before you might get definition updates. Whereas if you go with like Avast or AVG or the other programs that we recommend, they're doing it, weekly, if not, in some cases, daily, if there's a outbreak that they need to stay on top of.
AVG, at the last really big outbreak, updated 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft just doesn't do that.
Yeah, no.
Once a month, if you're lucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually, and built into Windows is the...
Defender.
The malicious software removal tool, MSRT, yeah. I think it is. And so that runs built into Windows. It's updated every month to catch the most serious ones. But yeah, Microsoft just doesn't update their anti-malware often enough to be in the top tier.
Mm-hmm. It's not a bad program. It's just not a top-tier program, and I agree. So my suggestion would be to check the Security Tango and pretty much hit any one of those things.
Okay, and that's right on the front page, right?
Well, the Security Tango is at securitytango.com.
Okay.
And by the way, the Security Tango was 11 years old yesterday.
Wee.
11 years we've had it up. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, the Security Tango started out as a... yay, thank you. Very excited. Started out as an idea, you know?
We hated saying, run this.
Right, every question was, well, how do I get rid of these viruses? Well, it's the same process every time. So I started calling it the Security Tango because it was a dance, and if you did it wrong... You weren't, you know, if you missed this, because there were all these steps, and people kept skipping the steps. Well, I don't really need to do that step. Yeah, you do, because if you miss a step, you're not dancing anymore. You're just stumbling around. So we called it the Security Tango, and then eventually it was a page on the Soundbites page, on the Soundbites site, and then I just broke it off and made it its own thing, and the Security Tango has been its own page for 11 years now. 11 years now. It's kind of exciting. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Hi, Bob. What's up?
Oh, greetings. Regarding the Ubuntu, or Myth TV, rather, what it can do depends what you build it on. If you put a cable car tuner in the box, you can read the GRC's cable Time Warner's cable signal. If you put an over-the-air tuner in it, you can read over-the-air. It depends what you put in it.
Ah. Nice. See, like I said, I haven't looked at it in forever. And that's just, that's bad on my part. But so if I actually bought a cable card, a cable tuner card for my computer, let's say I bought a computer, and really, you don't need a fast machine. You need a decent amount of RAM, and you need a huge hard drive is really what you're looking at. And so you could put a cable card tuner in it, an over-the-air card in it.
Transcoding would require some CPU power, too.
Well, that's true. But, it doesn't have to be an octa-core 3 gigahertz.
Yeah, but you don't want to fish something out of the end of somebody's driveway.
Right. But you don't have to go super high-end either. Somewhere in the middle is good.
It depends what you do with it. I've been looking into it, planning on building one such a machine. I haven't gotten around to doing it yet due to time constraints, but there's actually a Ubuntu distribution which focuses on it. It's called Mifuntu.
Yep. I've heard of it. Like I said, I haven't played with it yet. But it does Myth music and Myth video, so you can listen to music or watch a DVD if you want to. And it essentially becomes, if you put it all together right, I am reading it now, it says that it actually becomes, it replaces the entire DVR setup that you've got now.
Yeah, I'm eventually going to build one so I don't have to cough up whatever Time Warner's getting now, but it's just a matter of finding time to play with it.
And the cable card rental is only $5 or $6 a month. for Time Warner.
Right, right, right.
You don't have to pay the whole cable TV price. Because it's the same thing if you get like a TiVo, a non-Time Warner brand DVR, you need to get the Time Warner cable card to run in there.
Right, right. But that's, again, less expensive.
A lot cheaper, yeah.
You still need a Time Warner subscription of some sort for whatever channels you're going to watch.
Right.
But where you save money is it's cheaper to rent that card than it is to rent a DVR.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure the thing can do streaming, too, off Netflix and all the others.
I don't know. Like I said, I haven't looked into it yet, but it's something to look into.
Since that's just a web page, that should be fine.
Well, the thing's going to be on the internet. It's a computer, so I think that would be a given.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, I got to get going. Have fun.
Thanks. Yeah, it looks like mythbuntu.org is the place you want to be for that stuff. That's pretty interesting. That's pretty interesting stuff. I may have to check that out myself. Maybe throw it on an old machine just to play with it. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And here's an interesting news item for all you Mac users. Macintosh computers still have a major security flaw. Apple said it fixed the problem, but it didn't. 2 weeks ago, Apple released a security update for Mac OS X Yosemite that claimed to fix a gaping hole in the operating system's code. Without a security patch, the vulnerability could allow hackers to take control of any Macintosh. But the update did not fix the problem, according to Patrick Wardle, a security researcher at Objective-C. He said Apple's security patch seems a reasonable fix, he said, but he found a novel yet trivial way for any hacker to abuse the same vulnerability that Apple claimed to have ended. Wardle says he shared the technical details of the hack with Apple, and he demonstrated the attack in a video on his blog. Alarmingly, this issue has persisted for at least 6 months. Google alerted Apple to the problem in October and made a security flaw public in January. Months later, there still appears to be no fix. That's not a huge surprise, as Apple does have a miserable security record. Last year, Apple was plagued with a series of security flaws, with a serious security flaw that allowed hackers to read private communications sent over Apple devices, including emails, instant messages, social media posts, and even online bank transactions. But Apple waited 4 days to fix the go-to-fail bug on Macs after it had already patched iPhones and iPads. App developer Roland Moritz also claimed to have notified Apple about a similar bug 4 months before Apple fixed it. That's nothing compared to the 2 months Apple waited to fix the flashback bug, the largest targeted attack on Macs ever. In early 2012, flashback exploited a hole in Java. Oracle quickly fixed the bug, but Apple used its own version of Java and didn't get around to patching the software right away. It took more than 3 years for Apple to fix the so-called Finisher Trojan that allowed law enforcement to spy on iPhone users. And they didn't even issue automatic updates until December of 2014. That is what it is. Macintoshes have several significant weaknesses and anti-malware protections. Many of Apple's security enhancements are trivial to bypass, said Wardle. So, do you still feel smug about your Mac? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415, just like Joe did from Cheektowaga, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's up?
I've had a Myth TV for, I don't know, it's got to be around 10 years now.
Cool.
Wonderful system. The one thing I would say, though, is if you get a cable card, common noun, that'll work fine. If you get a cable card, proper noun, the thing that decode scrambled TV transmissions. It's safe to say I've been looking at this for years and years. Never going to happen in an open source world, primarily due to the copyright infringement paranoia of the content providers.
Oh, yeah.
So, unfortunately, that's not going to help you a whole lot.
So you need a generic one rather than...
Yeah, what you said, a tuner card. that will is capable of cable.
Right. That makes sense. That actually makes sense.
Tell you how long ago I did this. I built mine on Fedora Core 5. That was like ages ago. Yeah. But basically, what I think what the guy is looking for is some sort of plug-in to it. You mentioned like Myth Music and Myth DVD. There's Myth Weather, which will, you know, it'll show you weather reports. I haven't seen one that'll go out to various download sites and try and fetch those sorts of things so that you can watch that. I have heard of a Python-based system called Sickbeard, of all things, where that will... I don't know a whole lot about it. I hear it connects to a central database sort of site. Say, you know, you want to watch, Mad Men.
Right.
And it'll go out and find a service that has Mad Men, whatever episodes you're looking for.
Right, and what's that called?
And download them.
What's that called?
Sickbeard.
Sickbeard?
Yeah, sick as in not well.
Yeah?
And beard, like, you know, what's on your face.
Oh, there it is. Sickbeard. How weird is that?
Yeah, I don't know why they called it that. But
Neckbeard was already taken.
Sorry?
Neckbeard was already taken.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I had a friend of mine suggest that years ago as a way to cut the cable, but I never implemented that. I was kind of happy with TV and subscribing to Time Warner.
Interesting. I have no idea how legal this is, but it looks interesting.
Yeah, that's the one thing I thought about. It's like, yeah, you can get these whatever, you know, TV programs on Usenet, the binary groups and all that. But it was saying, you know, if you don't mind the copyright infringement sort of thing, it's a lot cheaper to pay a Usenet downloading service than to subscribe to cable.
Right.
Looks like this one is mostly New Zealand. The channels it says it uses. That TV browser I looked at looks like it's mostly Europe. And you need a plug-in for U.S. channels. And that's some of the things we've seen with some of the TV tuner cards is that Elgato used to make a bunch of them for the U.S. market, and they've stopped, and now it's all European market. And we think it's because of the DCMA, that this little box has to decode the encrypted channels to show on your computer, and they don't want to worry about running into that, so they just stop making it.
I'd say current best favorite for technology to connect up to your Myth TV would be a Silicon Dust HD Home Run.
From
believe
Elgato,
it or not, that is a network-based tuner. It's out there as a little kind of gizmo box on your network that tunes in your cable or over the air or whatever you have, as long as it's digital. It doesn't do the NTSC analog anymore. But
Right. So it's called Silicon Dust HD Home Run Prime?
Well, they have several models with different tuners.
The Prime is the one
tuners.
That accepts the cable card, so if you're going to do Myth TV, that won't do you any good. But if you go with a commercial system, I don't know, Windows Media Center or something like that, you can buy cable cards and stick them into a Prime and have that record the shows for you.
Oh, okay,
but, yeah.
I see. Yeah. So for $150, you buy the Prime. Whatever it costs to rent the card from your cable company... And then you just hook that to Myth TV, and you're done.
Well, you can't hook it to Myth TV if you're going to use cable card. If you want the Prime for the six tuners, yeah, you can do the six tuners. They make another box that's just the non-Prime that's two tuners, and I think they also make some sort of network. It's kind of designed for multi-distribution sort of units. I think it has recording capability. Anyhow, I wasn't that interested in it, so I don't know the details on that one. But, yeah, you have the two-tuner model and the six-tuner model in the Prime that accepts cable cards.
Okay, that kind of makes some sense. Interesting thing to check out. Thanks.
And because it's on the network, you can watch different shows on different devices from your network.
That's true. I never watch anything in real time anymore. It's like... Almost everything I watch is on networks with ads, and I want to skip through the ads, to be honest. So The only thing I might watch in real time is like a hockey game or something like that.
Yeah, the person making the most money off of me is the people who make the batteries. Because I'm slipping commercials all the time. Thanks a lot, Joe. Yeah, it's so there are lots of other things you can do in terms of this stuff, and a lot of different ways to buy. But you know, there's an awful lot of choices here, and that makes it a little confusing. Unless you find somebody who really knows what they're talking about. Clearly, that's not us.
And you have to be especially careful to make sure you buy one for the U.S. market and not European markets, which all use different types of cable systems.
Right.
So in that Silicon Dust, in the U.S. market, it's QAM is the digital television standard. And so that's the buzzword you're looking for.
Right. So HD Home Run is a network attached tuner, which is for free broadcast TV.
Yeah, they have a two tuner antenna version, so you can record two different shows or record one while you're watching another.
Right.
And then they have a three tuner Prime. So their website says it's three tuners on the Prime, and he was saying six. I haven't found that one yet.
Yeah.
And the three tuner supports a QAM card, so you can get unencrypted digital cable. And that's the trick. It's unencrypted digital cable. And many cable companies have now started encrypting everything, so you have to rent the cable card from them.
Right.
Rather than just buying a generic cable card, which is frustrating.
Right. But it looks... I'm sorry. I was trying to read that, but... So I guess it depends on what it is you're trying to do and how you're trying to do it. But if you can actually connect now, but if you buy a cable card, you've got to have cable, right? Because
yes.
It connects the cable, not to the internet. So
here I found they have a six tuner and an eight tuner version for their corporate customers.
there you go. Oh yeah,
and no price
CC
and no price listed.
Right.
Let's hit that buy now button. Now, back to the cable TV, there are rumors that Time Warner, locally here in Rochester, is going to start rolling out their six-tuner, one-terabyte DVR soon. There was an article in the newspaper a week or two ago about it. So far, we haven't seen anything yet. They started talking about it in 2 years ago now, and Dish and DirecTV both have their six-tuner HAPA. Boxes.
Hapa.
So Hapa. They can record six things at a time, and it's got a 1 or 2 terabyte hard drive in it. And TiVo also has boxes with 4 to 6 tuners and 2 to 3 terabytes of drive storage, so you can record more shows.
Right, and that's the...
And the hard drive will still always be full.
Well, yes. But it also means that now if there's six tuners... in the thing, then you can record six different things simultaneously, or five and watch one.
Right.
It also means that if I want to watch A, my wife wants to watch B, my daughter wants to watch C, and we're each trying to record D, E, and F, that works.
Yep. Scary, isn't it?
There have been a couple of times when I've had to make a choice between things that I want to record, because of course everybody puts all the good things on the same night.
Yeah,
right.
And so fortunately, some shows will broadcast again on another day, or sometimes through the night they'll repeat themselves through the night.
Right,
and then you have to go to on demand. But on demand doesn't keep old shows very long. So
no.
So some shows you may only be able to go back 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, as a matter of fact, if they're I found, say they're down on during the summer, they drop them. They're not available.
Yeah.
So say like Hawaii 5-0, it's on, say, from September to April.
Right.
Come May, June, July, and all that, you can't find them because they drop them off.
Yep. And that's an issue in terms of their license, I suspect.
Mm.
You know, although it's kind of stupid because
you can
all
go on the internet.
Is disk space.
Yeah, and you can go on the internet and pull them up anyways.
Well,
yeah,
it's so easy to find them illegally that they should make them available legally easier.
Yeah.
And like I said, the only thing it costs them is disk space. And that's dang near free these days. I don't care who you are. It's the thing that bothers me about Netflix. There are some movies I would love to watch and they're not available. They're available as discs. But what does it cost them to digitize it. It's, almost nothing.
It's probably more the license fees than the storage media.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah. Because like I say, you can go to like ABC.com or any of those others and look up older programs, pull them up and still see them.
Yep.
Because like you say, they got tons of storage space.
Well, and that's
and you're coming to their site.
Right. And that's what many of the cost cutters, cord cutters are finding. That if you're willing to watch, let's say, an ABC show forever, if you're willing to watch it a day or two late,
mm-hmm.
then you can see it for free on their website.
And we're already used to that with DVRs.
And we're already used to that with DVRs. And if you've got a fast enough internet connection like I do, then it doesn't even hesitate.
Right.
Which... In fact, I'm actually having a problem with Time Warner right now. Every couple of years, squirrels chew through the wires.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're at the point now where I have to call Time Warner and get them to replace my wires again. So my internet TV watching is actually more trouble-free than my DVR TV watching. Because I live in the shadow of Pinnacle Hill and I get all the stations perfectly simultaneously. So that's an issue for me. It's the reason we got cable in the first place. We were very early cable adopters because we had to have it.
Well, like I say, I'm getting more and more disappointed. One of the other channels I happen to like a lot was the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah.
Now you turn on them during the week, and all it is constant reruns of either the Waltons or the some other, Golden Girls or that. And it's like, really?
Yeah. All right, listen... That's it. You've struggled through this first hour with us. But stay tuned because there's a whole lot more to come. We're going to take a short break. And then we'll be back on the other side of that with a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. You've got a whole hour to do that. Please, for heaven's sake, call early in the hour. When the calls pile up at 57 minutes after the hour, we can't get to you. So stay tuned. Make that call. We'll be back with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites right here on the truly great and solely member supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites, and you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Google, on Wednesday, announced Project Fi, F-I, a new cell phone service that will compete with AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint. Project Fi is like any other wireless service, except for a few noticeable differences. First, it works across multiple networks. Google partnered with Sprint and T-Mobile and will tap into more than a million free Wi-Fi hotspots across the world. Project Fi will piggyback on those networks, seamlessly switching between them to choose the network with the fastest and most reliable service in your area. No matter what network you're on, or if you're connecting via Wi-Fi even, Google will let you make calls, stream media, browse the web, and use apps. You can also make and place calls using your phone number on any of your devices, including a PC or a tablet. And when you're on an open public Wi-Fi network, Google will automatically encrypt your data to protect it from hackers. Secondly, you only pay for the data you use. The service starts at $20 a month, which includes unlimited talk, text, inexpensive international calls, and international roaming at no additional cost. After that, the Project Fi costs $10 extra for every gigabyte of data you use. If you use less data, you get a credit back on your bill. If you use more, you'll be charged only for the data you use. So, if you have a 3-gigabyte plan and you only use 2.2 gigabytes of data, you'll get an $8 credit on your bill. You do need, however, at the moment, the only phone that works is a Nexus 6. That's the only one that supports Project Fi's network of networks. If you don't have a Nexus 6, you'd have to buy one for about $650 up front or $27 a month over 2 years. And you'll have to wait a while. Google is only allowing a small number of people to join its early access program for Project Fi each week. If you do have service in your area, you can request an invitation. When Google's products chief, Sundar Pichai, first announced the service at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona in February, he said the scale of Google's wireless service will be small. It won't be building out its own nationwide infrastructure. And similar to Google Fiber's small rollout, Pichai said that the point of Project Fi won't be to unseat the established big four wireless giants. Rather, the point is to showcase wireless innovations and pressure the carriers to do the same. So does that sound like an interesting alternative to you? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. It sounds kind of fascinating. I like the idea of paying only for the data you use. Now, I'm a big advocate of unlimited data. I like unlimited data. And I'm delighted that I still have it.
Third world countries have it, and it's cheaper.
But second alternative to me is the ability to only pay for the actual data you use. Not within a limit, like 3 gigs, but to say if I only use 1 gig, they'll only charge me for 1 gig. If I use 4, they'll charge me for 4. That's kind of fair. It's like we pay for water and gas and electricity that way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing as an alternative to unlimited, I'm willing to pay that way. Although, unlike the others, data essentially, I mean, once you're providing data service to somebody, providing more or less of it doesn't cost you more.
Well, the one thing I like is AT&T just picked up that, you know, say you don't use, like me, I'm on a 3-gig plan.
Yep.
If I don't use it all, it carries over to the next month.
They did that with minutes. The cell phone industry had rollover minutes, and then people stopped making phone calls, and now it's all data.
Right.
So no one worries about minutes anymore.
But I don't think that it rolls over more than 1 month.
That's okay. You know, I mean,
just better than no rollover at all.
I wish another big provider would do the same. Because there's some months, you know, hey, it'd be nice to have that little extra that I didn't use, say, this month. If I use, say, 2.5 gigs, an extra half gig to move over.
Especially if they don't do an overage fee. One of the things we see a lot of in the cable especially cellular internet services is in cities that do have a cap, you know, say 100 gigs.
Mm-hmm.
The overage fee, if you go over 100, is ridiculously expensive. Rather than just charging you, so I'm paying $50 a month for 10 gigs. If I go over, okay, just charge me the little bit I went over. Don't charge me $100 for the next 1 gig because I went over.
Bump around it up.
Yeah.
Pay for, like you say, pay for what you use.
And Google is charging $10 a gig, basically.
Yeah, essentially that's what they're saying. And if you use half a gig, they give you back $5.
Yep.
I mean, they actually refund you. That's kind of amazing.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, and I really well, you get a credit on your next month.
Well, that's
bill. Same
but
idea.
Still, no, it's same still idea. A credit is a credit.
That's exactly right. It was kind of nice. A couple of weeks ago, we ordered a pizza, and they got it exactly wrong. Exactly wrong. And so I called them up and I said that, and they said, you know, we'll put a credit on your bill. My next week's pizza, they got it right, and it was free.
Nice.
Because I ordered essentially the same thing, so it came, you know, to the same price, so it was free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That credit is a nice thing. Oh, you know? There's nothing wrong with
it. Speaking of pizza, of those too. I got a little postcard in the mail. We're sorry we took too long to deliver your pizza last time. It was not up to our standards, so here's a free pizza.
Nice.
I got one just from the one that I got. I picked up a pizza, took it over, and we started eating it, and it was real doughy inside. Like the dough had.
Oh, yeah.
And I called them back up, and I says, you know, not for nothing. I says, they said, oh, we wish you had brought it back. We would have made good by it. I says, I was already on the other side of town.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm not coming all the way back. It was already a done deal. We'll tell you what. We'll put it down, and you get another large pizza with three toppings. Okay. That's fine by me.
Exactly right.
My takeout fish fry last night. They forgot the coleslaw in one of them, and I didn't want to go back to the store.
Right. But that's nice. It's good when people actually take pride in what they do and stand behind it.
And you know what? The other thing, folks, from being a business owner myself, that if something's not right, you got to let the owner know.
Yeah.
It's just like one time I went over to this donut shop that we know and picked up some donuts and got them, took them over, go to eat it, and they're supposed to be cream-filled. Well, the hole was there, but no cream in them.
Yeah.
I go back, and he's apologizing. He gave me my money back for the inconvenience of doing it and gave me a couple more punches on the card. And I, that's fair.
Yep. I've had...
You got to let folks know if there's something wrong or you're unhappy. But you don't have to be nasty.
Right. Be polite about it.
Yes. Yeah.
They're not intending to screw you. People make mistakes.
People are human.
I have had
people who have complained to me about various vendors... You guys included. I always say, didn't they make it right? Well, I didn't talk to them. Hey, then don't talk to me. I'm sorry, but I can't.
Yeah.
You know, what do you want me to say? Do you just want to badmouth them? Because that's not what I do. If you have a legitimate complaint, if somebody went to a vendor and said, you did something wrong and the vendor told you to go take a hike, that's one thing. But if you don't even bother to tell the vendor, then how do you know they weren't going to make it right, for Pete's sake?
Exactly. Or, I have no problem if I worked on something and it didn't work correctly, or something else I might have overlooked.
Right.
And that happens, and I'll admit it. And
now, but the flip side of that is, you fixed my computer and now it's got a virus again. It's your fault.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Right.
Or you bought a program from somebody else. That's not our fault.
Right. So. Yeah. You I don't take anybody's word for anything anymore.
No. And,
investigate everything.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Bruce from Brighton, New York. Welcome, Bruce. What's up?
Yeah, hi. Sometimes when I'm looking at something on the internet, let's say a newspaper, an online newspaper, and I'm scrolling down the column and I'm reading it, and then suddenly it'll scroll back immediately up to the top. Pop up from the bottom of the article all the way to the top. Is there something going on? Is that the site itself? Is it my computer? Is it a program?
It's probably the site itself. There probably is a new ad at the top you're supposed to look at.
Yeah.
I mean, this happens at mainstream things like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, things like that.
Yeah, I've seen it myself sometimes, and it's generally some sort of script running that changes an ad and that essentially reloads the page.
Yeah.
But it reloads it because it's now changed. Normally you can reload a page and you come right back to the place you were.
Right.
But in fact, because it's got a new ad on it, the page has changed, so it reloads it back to the top again.
Yeah.
It's horribly annoying.
This is not a free site. I'm paying for this. This is a paid subscription to these.
Then you have every right to call them and complain. But what they're doing is reloading the page, which, by the way, is the wrong way to do it, but I'm not going there right now. That's just lazy programming.
Sometimes if you wait another second or two, it will jump back down to where you were.
But it's still annoying.
It's still very annoying. Sure, yeah.
Can I ask a second question?
Of course.
Unrelated.
Go ahead.
I've been getting a lot of these unrequested phone calls from various places, And I try to get them on my do not call list. They still end up calling me, and it's getting to the point where it's taking up a lot of time. Now, what's the second step you can do to stop these?
Is this on your home phone?
Yes.
Yeah. Here's what I did, and I recommend this to everybody. You know, if you call a phone number that doesn't exist, you get that three-tone sound?
Yeah.
That do-do-do. That sound indicates to robocallers that this phone is no longer in service. So you can search on the internet for phone not in service sound. I put that at the front of my message on my answering machine. So when a human calls, they hear, do-do-do, hi, we're not available right now, please leave a message. What a robocall hears is, do-do-do, oh, that phone's not in service anymore, click. They take you off the list and move on, because they don't want to call phones that aren't in service, because it takes time away from making more robot calls.
Do you find that works?
I have not had... I get some new ones once in a while, but I haven't had any return robocalls in forever. But it also means that I let the machine pick up almost all my calls.
Yeah, sort of the other side of that is just never answer the phone, look at the call ID.
However, well, and exactly. And my friends and family have my cell phone number.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah.
Right. So, and of course, my phone tells me who's calling. And if it's not somebody I recognize, I generally, unless I'm expecting a call, I let it go to voicemail anyway.
Yeah.
So, and I also put that on the voicemail of my cell phone.
Right. In my case, I do use the landline a lot, and I hate to tick off family and friends with that kind of reaction.
Right. No, I get that, but there's really no other way around it that I can tell you about. I don't know of one.
What we find is we tend to recognize our friends' phone numbers on the call ID, and then that's when we answer.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Now, the other thing that you can do is if you are on the do not call list, you can get their number from your phone, right?
Yes, I can.
And you can report them.
Yeah.
That's really all you can do at that point.
And then the callers are getting a little sneaky about it. They'll put you on that do not call list, but then they have another company name that has a different list, and you're not on that one, so they'll call you anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too. I get the same kinds of calls from different phone numbers.
Yeah.
Right.
And the funny thing is, on the front page of the Wall Street Journal website now, they have a big article on testing out robo-advertisers.
Advisors.
Yeah.
Helpful.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco, you. 19 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Android Watch, Android Wear. Google is updating its Android Wear smartwatch software. They actually did it earlier this week ahead of the Apple Watch actual launch, the actual getting of the product. With the Apple Watch finally available, well, if you pre-ordered on the first day, if not, you're waiting until June, easy. Google is reminding the world that it has smartwatches, too. The company on Monday announced an upgrade to its Android Wear operating system for smartwatches. Some features seem to take direct aim at the Apple Watch, including Wi-Fi support, a watch face that always shows the time, and doodles for messaging. With built-in Wi-Fi support, an Android Wear watch will gain a bit of independence from its counterpart, the smartphone. Even if there's no phone nearby, a watch can connect to any available Wi-Fi network, if it's been set up using a phone previously, obviously, and get notifications, send and receive messages, and use Wi-Fi-dependent apps. So if you set it up at home and then set it up at work, you don't even have to have your phone with you to be able to do stuff. Android Wear already includes an always-on black and white display to show the time. Now it will let third-party developers tap the low-power feature to keep their screens on as long as they like. To see the time on an Apple Watch, you have to actually move your wrist. There's your first world problem. To turn the display on, which is its way of saving power. Complex communications are hard on tiny watch faces, so Google is adding a doodle to emoji translator. do your best drawing of a happy face cat or thumbs up, and it'll turn it into an emoji equivalent. Other new features include the ability to pull up a list of all installed apps with a swipe and flicking your wrist to advance through news or notifications instead of scrolling with a finger. The update will be available in the coming weeks on the Android Wear models currently available from Asus, Samsung, LG, Motorola, Sony, and Huawei. First, it will ship on the new LG Watch Urbane model that comes out that came out on Friday yesterday. The new features won't necessarily be available on every watch. The hardware will have to support it, and each manufacturer will decide what updates to allow. So, are you lusting after a smartwatch? Why or why not? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free, 1-800-790-0415. I have to admit that I've had my eye on the Moto 360. LG also makes a model that's very similar. I really like both of them. The LG is an easy 24-hour before you have to recharge. And
do they do a pocket watch style?
That's the only thing they don't have.
See, I'm not one for wearing a watch.
No, I'm with you. I've always worn a pocket watch, never a watch watch.
Yeah, I hate wearing a watch watch.
Right, right, right.
I always find I catch it against door jams, so right. I stopped wearing one for a long time because, you know, your phone tells the time now.
Yeah.
But now I've got the Strive Fitness Band, and I've been wearing it again and smacking it against door jams again.
Yep.
Fortunately, it's plastic and cheap.
Right. I always bought back in the day when I was in my 20s, the $5 pocket watch because I took a dive off a 10-foot-high platform in a show once, and during rehearsal, I had my watch in my pocket and came out in pieces and, you know, things like that. So I was always buying the cheap watches. But the nice thing about the Motorola watch is that it uses a standard watch band. So you can actually replace the watch band with another watch band, or as in the case of what you and I like, you can buy a pocket watch chain that connects to the regular connector on the watch band.
Yeah. I'd love to have.
Yeah.
I miss my pocket watch.
Yeah. I always liked the pocket watch.
Well, I had one. I had one by Harley. It was a Harley
right,
one.
Right, right.
Lori had got me. But the design of it was really poor. And the clasp, each time matter of fact, I ordered four of them at one time. They just kept breaking and breaking. And I just even called the company. I says, don't you have something that's a little bit more durable? You know, no, sorry, that's all we got. You know, Harley only sanctioned that one, and it's like, dang.
Yeah. Yeah, and the problem I have with many of these pocket watches, though, is that they're, and it would be the problem with putting a pocket chain on a regular Motorola 360 watch, is that now the 12 is at the top of the chain.
Mm-hmm.
It really should be off to the side, because when you hold the watch, you want the chain
at the bottom.
When you pick it out, the chain comes out the side through your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the natural way when you pick up the watch. That's right. The way it looks. And so the 12 would be in the wrong place. You'd be doing a lot of switching around. Yes. Is that picky? Yes.
And but that's easy, though.
Design it right.
Yeah, but that's an easy thing to do just by, you know, turning it around in the case. That's
right, right.
Exactly. No biggie. I mean, they don't have to re-engineer the whole darn watch. It's just a case that it sits in and rotating where it comes out where the clasp
is. And particularly when you have one that you open by pushing a button and the lid flips open, you're going to push that button with your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And if the 12 is at the button, then you're looking at the watch sideways.
Yeah, it's like...
Exactly. And it's just poor design.
With the digital faces now, it doesn't matter what angle the watch is at. It can show you the time right side up.
Right. With that, that's true. But yeah, so what's really interesting to me is the ability to change all the faces to get all the, all the reasons that people like smartwatches. But most of those would be negated by having it in your pocket. You know, the whole point is you can just tip your wrist and see the notices and the who's calling and the whole everything. And I get that. I do. I understand why making it a pocket watch would be defeating the purpose of all the stuff. But I still like pocket watches. I don't care.
Do you have a top hat and monocle, too?
I do have a top hat. I do not have a monocle. Although there's a company on the internet that sells monocles. And you can buy a 3-pack of monocles. And I think you can get... I don't remember who makes them. I don't remember. You're looking it up. You can get a 3-pack of monocles or a 30-pack or whatever it is.
Well, Warby Parker does. Probably other ones, too.
Yeah.
My boss's son works at Warby Parker, so I have to look there first.
Okay, that's important. Sure. But there is a company that makes 3-packs of monocles.
They call theirs the Colonel, available in different styles.
Right. I can't spell monocle apparently. Box Clever now, I don't know. There's a company. We'll look it up. Maybe it's the Monocle Shop. But there's some company that makes them. It's pretty cool, actually. And I really thought that would be...
This went on Kickstarter for a single-use Gentleman's Monocle.
That was it. It was on Kickstarter. That was it. The Gentleman's Monocle. Single-use unlubricated monocles. Exactly right. And you could buy a 3-pack of them or whatever. It was very cleverly done. And I don't know how far they got in their campaign, but it was pretty cool, actually.
$127,000.
That's not bad. How far is that in terms of their goal?
Let's see. Campaign. Is there...
Because, you know, whatever the goal was, so $127,000 may be fine.
I think that's in their stretch goal, too.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, there it is, the 3-packs and all the other stuff. So, it looks like it. That's very cool. It's a very cool idea. I was actually pretty impressed. Clearly a one-size-fits-all monocle is a lie. I've had hats where one-size-fits-all, and they don't fit me.
It doesn't say it fits well.
Yeah, that's true.
So what if it hangs over your ears?
Yeah. The to my eternal shame, having Italians on both sides of my ancestry back hundreds of generations, I have a Celtic skull. It's an odd shape. And a friend of mine said, "Oh, you should try this hat." And he actually bought me one when he was in Ireland, and it fits me perfectly. It fits me perfectly. And he said, "Yeah, you've got a Celtic skull. Great, good to know."
Here's Hillbilly Bob in his bib overhauls, his boonie hat, and his monocle.
There you go.
and his sideburns. So he doesn't have the beard, but he's got the sideburns.
Sadly, a monocle does me no good because I wear glasses. So that would be an interesting look.
Yeah.
Two monocles?
There you go. And just
squinting both eyes.
Yeah. You break your glasses, then you have two monocles. You're right.
But yeah, I thought about a monocle at one point because back in the day, it was just the one eye that is astigmatic. Now I'm just getting old. But back in the day, it was just the one eye was astigmatic. And I could have used a monocle, but I was not self-aware enough at the time to actually do so.
Then you got to get the gold MacBook, so you've got the gold-looking computer. Unless you get a gold computer.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the gold Apple Watch.
You know, I wouldn't, even if I could, I wouldn't spend that kind of money. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I realize, you know, but.
Yeah, how much are those watches?
They start at $350. The gold model starts at $10,000.
Yeah.
And goes up to $17,000.
$17,000.
Which is a cheap Rolex. So there are people in this high-end.
Yeah, either.
There are people in this high-end watch world where $10,000 is cheap and they wouldn't spend that little on a watch.
No, I get that.
Yeah. Very, very frustrating.
I get that.
That's too cheap to pay for. Oh, okay. I'll give it to me then.
That's right. Well, you know, I'm working with a startup, and we priced, you know, advertising and all the other stuff, and we brought it to a guy who was advising us. He said, "Oh no, way too cheap." I said, "What?" He said, "Nobody will buy this. They'll think it's garbage."
Yeah.
Well, but we don't. We don't need more. No, it doesn't matter. You really should be charging this, which was like five times what I thought it was. And I said, okay. And now it's selling. Things are selling. So, which is still in beta, so I'm not talking about it. But it's happening.
I remember an app that the author was getting interviewed, and he said, we put a lot of money into making it, so what are we going to charge for it? So we decided, you know, well, all right, we'll charge $15, and we sold a few of them. And then people got mad that it was $15 for an app. When if you've bought apps, you know, what we used to call applications, software boxes on the retail shelf, $60, $70, $80, $100 was common. So $15 for the app. So we dropped the price to $10 and sold a whole bunch of them. And then people claimed that $10 was too much. So we dropped the price to $5 and sold a whole bunch of them. And then people complained that $5 was too much. So whatever you price it at, someone will complain it's too much.
Well, I've said this one. You should turn your mic on if you're going to talk.
that helps once in a while.
I don't know. You should, yeah.
I was sneezing in it.
Yeah. When I was, and I still need to redo Ask Nick, and I know that life got in my way. Get over yourself. But when I first offered Ask Nick, I asked a whole bunch of people what it was worth. And they all said $25.
Mm-hmm.
And so I brought it out at $15. Almost every single one of them wrote back to me and said, I'm so glad you said $15 because I thought $25 was too much. You're the people who told me $25. Okay, whatever.
Yep.
Whatever. That's when I realized, stop listening to people.
Yeah.
Because they're just...
They're buggy.
They're buggy.
I got to post that Dilbert cartoon.
Yeah, you do. But that's you know, people.
That's the way life is.
The first thing you think is this is what it's actually worth, and then the second thing you think is what do I want to pay for it?
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to pay what it's worth.
Oh no, they're always looking for a deal.
Exactly right.
That's just the nature of us.
Exactly right. If I bring back Ask Nick, it's probably going to be more than $15 a month, but.
Well, it's a lot of work. And see, that's the other thing folks don't realize.
Yeah.
They just see what's there. They don't know the time and effort it takes to maintain something like that. Because it's not something that just happens automatically.
Right.
It takes time and effort. And, like we've said before, you know, there's so many hours in a day and you do have, this thing called a life.
Well, what was that? Was it Monument Run? The game that got really popular, you know, a big meme a few whiles ago.
A few whiles ago,
the authors did a real big interview where they actually disclosed that they spent $1.4 million making the app and advertising it and publicizing it. And that's salaries and, you know, lights in the building and the whole bit. And they've earned $5 million on it. And that's a pretty good return on investment.
Yeah.
But coming up with that initial $1.5 million to make this app, and you don't know if it's going to be popular or not, that's a huge gamble in the app world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, right. And so many... But you know what? That's the garage thing of the future, right? If you're... who's that 14-year-old kid who made an app?
Flappy Birds.
Flappy Birds,
and
but it was
too popular.
Right, there's a kid who's put out an app that goes. It's an add-on for your Chrome browser, or whatever browser, and it goes to your page. And if it finds a politician's name, it connects you to who's been paying that person.
We talked about that a few weeks ago.
Yeah. And that kid's like 14 years old. And so that's the kind of thing that you know, anybody can do in their home. The question is, how do you advertise it? How do you actually get it out there? We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call. 966-5299, 800-790-0415. And we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Interesting.
Well, before you start that, the plugin we were talking about is called Greenhouse, and that will highlight political contributions when you point to a congressperson's name on a website. And for those of you watching the video stream, my AC adapter is not working, and I'm down to 6% battery life. So we'll see if that lasts the next 10 minutes.
Good luck. Right.
It's going to be close.
It's going to be very close. If we cut out, you know why.
We were talking about different technologies and that type of stuff. My daughter happened to get one of those new Edges.
Oh, yeah, the S6.
I actually saw one, got to hold
it.
She is loving it, and I can see why. Unlike most of the phones where, you know, the surface of it is just so flat, the curvature of this just is so unique, and it is thin and all that other stuff that I'll grant you. But I'm sorry, I still don't like that they shorted the battery life.
Yep.
Well, right.
Does that one light up on the edge? When
that's the one that lights up on the edge, too, right?
Yeah. Now, she was telling me about you can do video calling, too. Supposedly, even with our phones.
Oh, Skype.
Sure. You can do, there's a half a dozen different ways. One of the ways is through.
With the Verizon, there's a video editing. But
I turned off all of the Verizon apps.
She turned on something for HD sound. And when it's HD to HD, it is a lot clearer, crisper, and everything else.
And uses more data.
But, yes, and it's very nice. I mostly use Google Hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't call it that anymore. They've broken it up, and it's now Google Calling or Hang Call or whatever that was called. Whatever they're calling it this week. I don't even know. You can also use Skype, and if you're into...
It is a nice-looking phone, though. I got to give it that.
Yeah, I don't like that I can't change the battery. I'm sorry. It's the thing I've never liked about Apple phones.
Or she can't put a different SD card into it, either.
Right.
You got to buy that model, and whatever it is, it is, so...
Well, and that's the other thing I like about my phone. I've got a 32 gig SD card in it. If I want to put I got a 64 gig SD card in it. If I want to put 128 gig SD card in it, that's my business.
Yeah,
it's $400 on contract and $850 off contract.
Yes.
So it's an expensive.
It's another reason I'm never going to have one because I'm buying all my phones off contract now.
to keep your unlimited data?
To keep my unlimited data. Yeah. That's exactly right.
It's amazing how that works. Oh, we don't offer that plan anymore unless you pay a fortune for your phone. Oh, okay, then we still offer it.
Yeah, right.
But this S5 I am really liking.
I love this. Something changed. It's using more battery than it used to.
Well, they just did some major updates to it, I notice, and they changed some other things. You know, but what I like is the calendar. I can see all my appointments right there on the calendar. I never had that feature before on my other phone.
Right.
And just other...
Google Calendar?
Yeah, the Google Calendar and even the messaging system.
Yep.
You know, you can actually see it and design it a lot better. Just a lot more features. I know it's all trivial stuff. It's still only a phone. But for me, it's the only thing because I don't have a home phone anymore.
Yep.
You know, I did away with that after Lori passed away. I did away with it because...
Right.
Don't need it.
Right. I love that I can send text messages hands-free.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to text. It's wonderful for all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, there's just so much stuff there that, you know, they keep adding more and more to it and to make your life simpler.
Yep.
It's like I say, I put everything there as far as reminders and everything else.
The other day, I can not only set reminders by time... But by location.
Huh?
So I can say to Google when I say okay, and I'm not going to say it out loud.
Right.
I can say, you can say, set a reminder to pick up groceries at 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can say, set a reminder to pick up bread when I'm at Wegmans.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm at Wegmans.
Because of the location finder on it?
Yep.
Because of the location finder. So when I go to Wegmans, I get a reminder.
Cool.
It's really kind of cool.
I'll have to play with that.
I don't know if other phones do it.
Yeah, Siri does that too.
I don't know how long that's been in the phone.
The problem is you have to keep location services on.
Right.
Yeah.
Which uses more battery.
Well, yes, it does. Yes, it does. And I am doing that because I've now set my phone to not lock when I'm at home.
Yeah.
So
which you can do because of location services.
Of location services. So when I'm out, my phone locks so that it's protected, so that you guys are protected because I have your cell phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But when I'm home, I don't need that nonsense.
Right.
And so that works pretty nicely, actually.
And you can do, remind me of X when I get home, or remind me when I get to work. Yep.
Like I said, the reminders is one of the biggest things for me. You know, keeping track of doctor's appointments, birthdays, and everything else. You just don't forget them anymore.
That's exactly right.
Or did you do this? Or
you don't have
to
remember them because your device does.
That's it. And something else, somebody will say, remind me to do this. I just go to my phone.
I actually wrote an entire reminder service for myself that would text message me important information at various times.
Oh, really?
And then like 3 months later, I got my first Google phone, and all of that work was entirely obsolete. I got razzle frazzle.
Yeah, but just think of the experience that you get.
It was fun to write, and I go back to it every once in a while and look at it and set myself a reminder for something. But I still use it. I remind my wife of various things. Mm-hmm. She keeps saying, she's got to take her particular ibuprofen at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. She's always forgetting, so I set a reminder for her every day. It text messages her and reminds her to do it.
Yeah.
But basically, for myself, I don't actually need it anymore because I can just say, Google, tell me, remind me to do this at 4 o'clock or, whatever it happens to be. It's kind of amazing. A lot of nice features in all our cell phones nowadays. And I think most of us don't use a tenth of the power, that our smartphones actually have anymore.
We hear that all the time. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah.
Well, you probably do stuff I don't know you can do too.
Well, exactly.
They do so many things.
Yeah.
Exactly. I actually did a document, and I don't know where it is now, but all the things that Google Now will do on your phone.
I downloaded the manual to my tablet for the S5, and I'm still slowly reading through it.
Well, there's just an amazing number of things, and I use the Google apps. Not the Verizon apps. Google Now has a series of voice commands to do an astounding number of things. And the list just keeps on growing. Some of them are just fun and interesting, but...
There's probably a command like on Siri. You can ask Siri, what can you do? And it gives you a list of a bunch of stuff Siri can do. Probably Google does that too.
Right.
So everyone hold your phone up to the microphone. Okay, Google, what can you do?
Yeah, right. all kinds of things. How old is somebody? Any kind of search thing you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Who invented the internet? What is the meaning of
Al Gore?
Well, that's what the Amazon Alexa is doing. Now, it's just a tube in your house, and you ask it questions, which... initially it's kind of a silly thing because everyone's got a phone that does that anyway, but you might not have your phone with you. It's charging. So now you can have one in any room in the house and ask, what time it is, it's that step to the science fiction fantasy of having the computer in your house that knows everything and you just ask it things.
Right.
And,
right.
It has one of the, best voices of all the options too.
Right. And the same things that Siri can do. I don't want people calling and saying, "Well, my phone does that too." But what does my day look like tomorrow is something you can say to it, and it will actually answer you. Yep. Show me my schedule for next Tuesday is something you can say to it, and being able to say, call Steve Mobile, or send an email to Tom, subject. Whatever message, whatever.
Just those reminders. I mean, it's very handy. And it's just, again, another feature making your life a little bit easier and a little more convenient to get stuff done.
And, weather and maps. And one of the things I love is conversions. I can say to my phone, what's the tip for $42?
And it figures it
for you. And it figures it for you. So you don't have to do that anymore. How are the Yankees doing? you know?
And it just comes back crying at you?
Yeah, right. I did text a friend of mine who's a huge Buffalo Bills fan. I said, well, so far we're in the running. He was not appreciative, I'll be honest about that.
Is it football season?
Apparently, yeah. It's coming
up. So we're tied for first.
Exactly.
Yes, we're tied for first.
Exactly. We're still in the running for the playoffs. All right, that's it. We've wasted a whole nother hour of your life. Just at the end of the show. That's funny. How about that one? Did that one live through it?
Well, it died.
Oh, I see what it's saying. Yeah. All right, that's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Don't go away. George is about to come in and play the best German music you will hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow, so things should be acceptable for listening. George gets wild. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco, and we'll be back next week. So thanks to all of you. It is Soundbite right here on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.